So hello and welcome to The Entrepreneur's Journey. I am Andy Brine, founder and director of The Entrepreneur's Journey, the show and also the business. Today I'm here with Wayne Medder, who I'm actually really excited to interview him today. You may already know that I hosted a show with him some time back, been friends with him for quite some time now. But it's really been a pleasure to actually be able to actually interview him today on the show, because he's got a journey that I've been able to follow with from the very start, and in some respects be a part of as well. So it's been a real pleasure. But for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'm just going to give a short snippet and a brief insight as to what the show is all about, so that hopefully you'll tune in again soon. So the show is called The Entrepreneur's Journey because we interview entrepreneurs and people from all around the world to uncover their story and journey to, you could say, success. But uncover their journeys from where they started, their humble beginnings, all the way through to where they are today. And in fact, today we're going to actually talk about Wayne's journey, where he has been cycling from Alabama all the way through to San Francisco. And I remember talking to him last night and I thought I'd worked out the miles. So I said, it's amazing that you've ridden 2,300 miles about that, isn't it? And then he said, no, I've actually ridden 2,800 miles. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So it's going to be great to find out about his journey, his story, and how he's gone on along the way. So yeah. Tell us a bit more about yourself, Wayne, before we get started on your journey and what you're up to at the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm a simple guy. You know that. I focus on trying to live more sustainably every day than what I did the day before. And that's through all different avenues. But the main thing that I'm learning through this trip, and we'll talk more about it, is the mindset shift that's happened within me about humanity and the hope that I think that we will have. So, but anyway, I've started A World for Change TV, and you and I've had a show before together, and we've hosted other live events, and it's been an incredible journey so far. But the next thing that we did as an organization really needed to be much larger than the one before and than anything we've done before. And that's where this Trek for Change came about. And so we kicked that off back in on June 1st. We kicked it off, and we'll talk again more about this in a minute, but I had an accident on June 2nd, had to do a recovery period, and left again in the middle of July. And it's been an incredible journey, and it's really starting to change some lives.
Excellent. Let's not go too far into the journey too much at the moment, because we'll get through that through the whole show. But yeah, I remember speaking to you. Wanted to go back to, first of all, when you thought about taking this trek on board. Was there something within your mind that said, for some reason, I feel like I need to go on a trek from one side of the States to the other?
Yeah, well, here's what it was. It was, for some reason, it was something in my person, in my soul, in my being connected, that just said, look, you need to do something big. You need to do something in a different way. And you need to share and connect with people in a way that hasn't been being accomplished very well. And that's where, that's what it was. And the bicycle just happened to be the tool to do that with.
Yeah. So you had that goal and vision to do something big, something different. And that's always the start of every one of our journeys. But was there any fear and doubt you had before taking this on board? Because 2,800 miles isn't something you say, yeah, I'll be fine. Let's just go for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say that now. But it's simply because this trip has put a complete different, it's opened my eyes and put a faith in the human spirit back in me. Not that I'd completely lost it, but it's really reinforced what I feel and what I believe. And So at any point did I, I went through the doubt period at first, you know, should I do it? Should I not? But I never questioned my ability to do it. I questioned my ability to do it in the 90 days.
Yeah.
And so I didn't, you know, I didn't know, but, I also had faith that it was just, it was what was laid in front of me to complete. And, so I had faith in that the universe was giving that to me for a reason. And, so I went for it.
So throughout that time where you had that a little bit of fear and doubt about whether you could do it or not. And, obviously you had that faith in you. Were there people that give you that inspiration, that motivation just to actually take that leap of faith and say, look, I can definitely do this? Sort of a reinforcement, you could say?
Yeah, I mean, there was people that I talked to about it, like the local cycling association in Northeast Alabama. And so I went to their board meeting and said, here's what I'm thinking about doing. Am I crazy? And they said, well, yeah, you're crazy, but yeah, it's possible to do. And so that was reinforcement in a way. But overall, no, I wouldn't say that that I had to look outside of my connection with the universe too much to get reinforced, because I really just I believe in what I'm doing, and so I don't need a lot.
Excellent. So as we move through your journey, then I know you had a lot of preparation to do, and I think you had 3 weeks worth of preparation in order to get yourself into a good level of fitness so that you could ride a certain amount of miles each and every day.
Yes, 6 weeks. I got the bike, I think 5 to 6 weeks before, and I started to train and, you know, figure out the whole cycling thing, up until June 1st. And then I had an accident on June 2nd, the second day that I'd left. So then I recovered for 3 weeks, and then I trained another 3 weeks, and then I left. So,
Cause I was going to ask you about that. Now you've gone and you've started your journey. You started your trek on the 1st of June.
Yeah.
How did it feel to actually start your trek when you actually, how did it feel?
Well, I mean, it felt really good, because that's when I guess there was some reinforcement. There was people there we were at a local eatery in town, in the small town community where we live, or near where we live. And they were really excited about what we were doing, what I was doing, and raised some money to help me along the way, and different people kind of gifted me different things, like the hammock that I'm using is a gifted hammock by a friend who lives there. And I wasn't planning on that initially. So that's when it all started, I guess, when that reinforcement started to happen. So I guess to answer your question, there's plenty of positive reinforcement. Every day I was positively reinforced, but it was by a different member of the community.
So as we step forward on your journey, you've had your first day, and then what challenges did you face? What was one of the biggest challenges you faced throughout the first week? And you've already said about your accident. Tell us about your accident. What actually happened?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I might have stepped out of line and
spilled
the beans a little early. As far as the accident goes, that was the second day. I just had overloaded the trailer, because I have a bike trailer with me. I had overloaded the trailer and not put enough weight on the bike. The trailer was marginal in its design, and there was too many variables that went wrong on the second day. And then I had an accident, wiped out on the asphalt on a state road, was knocked out for 10 minutes. Went to the hospital, everything checked out okay, went home and recovered for 3 weeks, and then trained for another 3 weeks, and lined up a couple of more sponsorships that I really should have had in the beginning. Yeah. And then left. And
I was to ask you about that accident. That accident was obviously not a good accident at all. It looked quite horrific, looking back at some of the pictures. I thought, wow, I hope you're all right. Yeah. You know, I was a bit worried at the time. But if I ask you, did that set you on track for moving forward on your journey. Did you get a lot of learnings from that? And what did you do in order to fix what had happened with the trailer so that you could be safer on the road?
Yeah, well, I learned that the equipment that I had just wasn't up to par that it needed to be. I learned that my knowledge about loading the weight distribution on a bicycle and a trailer and the way they're set up needed to be enhanced dramatically. So it was just little things, but they're all pieces to survival, if you will. I don't know how else to answer that. Yeah.
So I did. It's a good thing, right?
yeah. No, I look at that as a good thing. I think if it happens for a reason. It's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences in life, in my mind. Yeah. So if it happened, there was a reason for it. And, I just accept everything in the moment. That's the way it is.
Because I'd imagine that obviously further away from home, you were a lot closer to home. And if you were a lot further away from home, then it could have been much different, during that time. So.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It could have been.
My apologies. My headphones just stopped working.
Yeah.
So if we move throughout your track now you've started again. You started again on July 1st of July, didn't you?
July 18th, and I left then from there and from back from home again. I changed my route a little bit because it was later in the year, so I needed to change things a bit. But still completed the goals that I set out to complete.
So if we look at your goals and vision with the trek and what you wanted to achieve, what was your initial goal and objective with the trek in regards to sustainability and a world for change and even obviously a trek for change itself?
Yeah, it was to change the conversation about sustainability, to collaborate differently, to collaborate in a new way, and to share what's going on in North America. In small towns, off of the main highways, and to share that with a community in a semi-live, scenario. So I did a lot of social media posting as I was going along. I did videos asking questions, so getting feedback from people about some of the things that I was seeing. And then all of that is going into a documentary series that I'm editing and posting to YouTube.
Okay, cool. So if we look as you move through your journey some more, what were some of the challenges that you faced along the way throughout your journey over the weeks and months?
There's a challenge every day. I mean, there's things just as far as it applies to mental challenges. There's a lot of those, and you have to deal with overcoming obstacles mentally. You have physical challenges, so you're overcoming physical issues. You have weather challenges, and that's a pretty tough one to deal with. I rode 3.5 hours in sleet and rain coming down out of Yosemite National Park a couple weeks ago. And I was froze, you know. I mean, I was really cold, but I had to get down because the weather was getting ready to turn cold. So, you know, there's all kinds of challenges. There's challenges of finding where are you going to stay that night. Many times you don't even know until you roll into the next town and it's 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And you don't know where you're going to sleep or where you're going to hang your hammock because you're in the middle of the desert. So you've got all of these challenges that just complicate things.
So if I was to say, like, you didn't know where you were staying for the night, So what sort of things would you do in order to find a place?
I would always connect with people at the local level. So I would either, typically you would go into a bar, into a coffee shop, into a restaurant, into a local business that might be open, like a farm supply store or something that you know that they know local people. And you just say, look, here's what I'm doing. And you start strike up a conversation. You build the relationship. And then you say, well, you know, pretty soon they ask you, well, where are you going to stay tonight? How far are you going to go? And you say, well, I was thinking about staying here in this town. You got any ideas? You know, is there somewhere that you suggest that I could maybe go hang my hammock or, you know, something like that? And then pretty soon they're throwing all kinds of ideas at you, or like has happened many times, you know, somebody often says, well, you know, I've got my fifth wheel camper out back. You can go stay there, or we've got a spare bedroom. You can come just stay at our house, or you never know what's going to happen. You never ask for it, but it's that was the whole purpose of doing this project, was to show that humanity can pitch in and we can create something that builds this community around the topic of sustainability, around the mindset of being more sustainable. And we're not so focused on things like alternative energy. And I mean, I thought it was going to be about that. I thought it was going to be alternative energy and green, locally grown produce and, you know, non-GMOs and sustainable business practices. And it turns out it's so much more than that. It's not really about those things at all.
Excellent. It's great to see the human spirit come out when you're obviously looking for a place. People always come to your aid, you know. And I was going to ask, were there people along your journey that I said before were your inspiration, but along your journey had inspired you and maybe motivated you?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I ran across a lot of people, and I mean, I was inspired and motivated by somebody every day. There's a really, literally a story for every day.
If I was to ask you, if there was one person, I know there's always so many people. If there was one person that you met and you connected with and you really loved their story or what they were doing, would there be one person that you could maybe pinpoint out? Possibly.
Oh boy. Not really. I can't. I there's no possible way. I tell you, there's one individual that stands out to me because they just do. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. This was a geology professor, and I met him at Natural Bridges State Park, and I stayed at Natural Bridges State Park that night. I rolled in, I rode 5 miles back into the park downhill to get into the park, and the campground was full, and I didn't have the energy to go back out of the park that night and find somewhere else to go stay. Mm-hmm. And so he says, well, I'm a cyclist, you know, you can stay with us. And he had a whole campground filled up with his students, and they were taking their students on a 16-week semester tour of the western side of the United States. And there was 4 professors, and those professors, all including him, had put together this program where the students would get all of their credit hours needed during this 16-week camping trip around the western U.S. And they were environmental science and geology students. And it really hit home with me what he was doing. He worked very hard to build this program. It's the only one in the world like it, where a student can get this. And he's imparting such valuable knowledge and teaching these students a way of life, of living in the moment and living free and focusing on our connection with the universe, with God, with the universe. And that really impacted me, I think. I knew at several points that everything was just going to be okay, but just seeing him impart that into this large group of kids over this 16-week period is really interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So if I was to ask you then, what was there a moment throughout your trip where there was a shift, where everything sort of changed for you, everything sort of, you could say, feels like it came into place, everything sort of locked in place and felt like it all came together, you know?
No, I not really. It all came, it all came together, and I felt that after I left. But there wasn't a time when I felt that it was just all working perfectly, because I just feel like I don't know. I don't judge it like that. I just knew that it was going to work, period, because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, excellent.
So I didn't even question it.
No, that's cool. If we look at, we've spoken a lot about your some of the physical challenges that you went through. In terms of the mental challenges that you faced every day, what were some of those mental challenges that you faced, and what did you do to overcome some of those challenges throughout your day or throughout the week?
Well, mental challenges usually are stemmed from either from some kind of physical challenge or exterior influence. And so you have to figure that out and what it is that's cueing your mental doubt and your mental challenges, or your mental issues. And then once you figure that out, you can address that other specific issue, like wind or rain or pain or discomfort in any area can cause you to get mentally discouraged. Riding up hills, large mountain passes, those kinds of things, that can be extremely challenging. And especially when you're carrying much more weight than most cyclists would carry across the country, it's definitely challenging. So there's a lot of mental stamina that's needed to make it to the top of Wolf Creek Pass in Colorado at 10,850 some feet. With 45 mile an hour headwinds and 40 degree temperatures, you know, it takes you 6 hours to go 10 miles. It's just, you know, if you push for 2 to 4 miles up the pass.
So it's incredible. Like some of the stories you shared with me over the time. And I remember speaking to you one night and, we were looking, I think you're Bullfrog, weren't you? And, we were looking at your trek over the next day and I said, so where are you riding to the next day? Where was it? Somewhere,
up the Burr Trail. It was 69 miles of nothing. No human contact, and 20 to 25 miles of that was gravel. And there was a switchbacks in the middle of that gravel section. That's 1,000 feet elevation climb in less than a mile. And
I was just thinking about that earlier. I was like, so you were looking at riding 60 miles in a day, and then you had an elevation of 1,000 feet in that day as well. Or it might have been 2,000 feet, but there was that specific place where you had 1,000 feet incline. It was crazy, wasn't it? Absolutely insane.
Yeah, yeah. I just put my Instagram, if anybody wants to check it out. Hi, Wade, how are you? If anybody wants to check out my Instagram, I put the username there, and I've got pictures of the switchbacks that I came up, 1,000 freaking feet in less than a mile. It was huge. And, it was hot in the middle of the desert. And that's just what I'm talking about. It takes mental stamina, and it's a challenge, but it's so worth it.
So if we look towards the end of your journey now, last week, it was the time that you came into San Francisco for the first time.
Yep.
And how did it feel actually, you know, crossing that final margin, knowing that you've actually reached the end of your journey and in some respects the end of your trek? I know you've still got to head back, but
The trek's still just beginning, because I've got to do so much editing and producing, but as far as how did it feel? It felt good. But it didn't feel like something that I expected to just be this. I don't know. I didn't expect it to be anything major. It's just another day. I expected it to happen. I knew that I would be able to complete it, and that's it. I didn't question it. It's just another day, and I'm out here now building relationships with businesses, executives, and other businesses for next year's project that I'm working on. So,
excellent. So now, looking back on all of the things that you've learned along your journey through A Check for Change and A World for Change, what have you learned now that now you're giving back to others through what you've learned? And if I was to ask you, who are you now after your trek? Would you see yourself differently?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think everything about me has changed. I mean, at least everything about my perspective has changed. I'm so much more laid back. I'm not at all worried about what's going to happen in the future. The fact that the community came together and supported my trek financially, that's the only way that I made this, was through financial contributions. Double Dog Farms is in here too. It's nice to see you, buddy. People like that who have donated $10 here, $5 there, $50 here. Some have donated hundreds to the trek, and that has reinforced the fact that humanity cares about this issue, and that what I'm doing is valid, and what the work that I'm doing is valued among humanity and among my peers. And I believe that I should be able to do, and I think we all should be able to do, what we enjoy and get paid for it. And some of you might grow food and sell it to your neighbors, and I'm out working hard filming and creating content, and in turn, I'm hoping to live and grow the business based on that.
So if I was to ask, why do you do what you do now? And who are you now giving back to?
Well, I feel like the whole trek is giving back to the world. even though I was supported by the community, so I was taking or receiving from the community. I believe that was so that it could enable me to give back to the world, and it was the community's way of just using me as an avenue to create a better future and a better planet. And so one of the motivations for me is I want this place to be a better world for my kids and my grandkids. And right now the trajectory that we're on isn't a good one. And I think that the consistency across the United States, small town and large town, North America at least, the consensus is that we're not on a good trajectory, and that things are bound to change or need to change. And we need to somehow organize to make that happen, and to make it happen effectively. And so I'm working on next year building out a sustainability event that everybody will be welcome to join, where we will do a camp. And Andy, you and I have even talked about working on it some together, but where it'll be a camp where you can come and join for 3 to 4 days, and we'll have keynote speakers that can speak to all different areas of sustainability, whether that's sustainable business, sustainable food, organic produce, locally grown produce, future economies, future currencies, etc. And we'll have this experience, and then in the evenings we'll be able to collaborate around a campfire, if you will, have a guided collaboration. And so that, to me, is where we need to go as a society, is to work with each other from that perspective. And that's really what this whole project, how it was pulled off in the first place, was through community collaborating and just using me as a way to achieve it.
Fantastic. So we've actually come towards the end of the show. So thank you very much for sharing your story. It's been incredible. But I know you've got a journey back. You've got your journey back, and you still need support from people so you can get back, and you can pass on your message to more and more people around the world. So where can people donate to A Trek for Change and your project?
Yeah, I have already put the links up in the chat box But also you can go to GoFundMe, and I just put the link in again, GoFundMe.com/A Trek for Change, T-R-E-K, the number four, change. GoFundMe.com/A Trek for Change.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for sharing your story today, Wayne. We are not yet finished. We have a 10-minute Q&A at the end where all of you in the audience can jump in, ask your questions to Wayne, and hopefully he'll answer your questions to the best of his abilities. So I'll unlock the room. Is there anything else you wanted to share while we wait for people to jump in and join the conversation?
Not anything in particular, other than I just really wanted to thank the community, anybody that's here or watching that's helped in any way. If that means, even if you haven't helped financially, if you've shared the project through any of your social media channels, you've told somebody about the project, I really want to thank you, because that's the only way that this project has been able to get to the point that it is, and that's the only way that it will be completed. I just talked with a documentary filmmaker yesterday, a couple days ago and yesterday as well, and he's working to help connect me with the right producers that will be able to take this content and make a very nice, good quality documentary film. So that's, in the works. Next year is another ride that's in the works. And, we'd like to bring along a filming crew on the next ride and do something a little different with a different focus. So that's again, but still with the overall arching sustainability as the backbone. So.
Double Duck Farmers just asked, whereabouts are you now, and looking to get home?
So. Yeah, I am in San Francisco, and the money as of yesterday has been raised for me to return home, and I'm taking the Amtrak home this morning. I just bought the tickets, taking the Amtrak back to Birmingham, so that's all a part of the story, and obviously, I'm going to meet some really neat people on the train. It gives me some time to do focused video editing and have the internet service all the way home, and really focus and get some work knocked out and caught up. So,
how long will it take you to get home on that?
4 days, or four or five. Yeah, 4 or 5 days, something like that.
Excellent. And when you go back, you've probably answered this in some way or form earlier, but when you get back, what is it you're looking to give back to specifically your local community?
I didn't really answer that. I want to inspire them to think differently, because there's a lot of challenges within the local community. I don't even, this is hard. There's a lot of challenges within the local community in the way that they tend to willingly do backbiting and talk behind each other's backs and cut each other down in many different ways. And they make it really hard for outsiders like myself to come in and be a part of the community. Now, I'm not saying all of them are like that, but a lot of them are. And they are not very progressive in their thought processes down there in that neck of the woods in Alabama. And it's really a shame, because it causes there to be a road bumps that stop innovation and that stop the growth process of human interaction. So that's where I want them to learn that they need to put aside those differences and come together over topics that are an emergency. When I was in Greensburg, Kansas, I talked with the mayor of Greensburg, Kansas. There's a unique story there, but I won't go into it. My question to him was, what do you tell small towns like mine who need to come together over something, or who can't get along, But don't have an emergency that forces them to come together. Greensburg had a tornado wipe them out, so they were forced to come together. How do you tell, what do you tell them? And his answer was, and I'll paraphrase, everybody has an emergency. Every community has an emergency that needs to be handled. Things like school systems, structures that are failing, infrastructure that's failing, so piping systems that need to be replaced, maybe a criminal problem within the town that's an emergency. There's an emergency within every city and every community, and the community has got to realize that and put aside their differences and come together. When they do that, they'll thrive and they'll grow, and that's what's happening in Greensburg. They were forced to do it with a tornado. We need to be smart about it as a human society, as a human race. We need to be smart about it and figure out how we're going to come together without having those emergencies forced upon us to do it, forcing us to do it.
I think deep down, we all want the same thing as well. We all want happiness. We want our family to be safe safe and have a roof over their heads and not have to worry about life, live in a place of comfort, each one of us have very similar needs and wants. And once we realize that, I think that's when we can come together and really make that change,
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Again, it takes people doing it together. It takes togetherness, and we're in a time where we're having to relearn how to do that because of the hiccup that we have with technology. We started to lose our one-on-one communication, and now we're starting to gain it back with platforms like Blab where it makes it easier again.
I love how conversations are so simple and easy when we allow them to be, regardless of what the platform is, whether it's Google Hangouts, whether it's Blab, whether it's just social media as a whole, it's so much easier to communicate and engage with one another now. And I think as a world and as a community, we can all come together and make that difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Nazim is here, it looks like. Yeah. I think that, This next year is going to be a big one for people who want to be a part of what I'm doing, because of the event that I'm going to be putting together, along with a couple other people who you guys know. And then I would also say that the bike ride is going to be a pretty big one, in the fact that we're going to get some, really unique corporate sponsors to work with us. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how it all materializes, and we're going to make a difference. Hey, Nazim.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you.
Super happy to join in. I've been following your trip on Google, especially on Google Plus, mostly your posts and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Also, yeah. A hell of a task that you've taken upon yourself to cross the country.
Yeah. Well, I finally made it. So, yeah.
Good. Great. Congrats on it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, what do you think about Blab?
Blab? I like it. It's
okay,
a good platform.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've been talking with them. I want to try to meet with somebody at the corporate while I'm in town.
Cool. Oh, you're in San Francisco now.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there did. I saw Shan today in another Blab, and he would say, if anybody's in town and they just want to drop by, just drop us a line, and we'll be happy to meet. We're very open.
Yeah.
Cool.
Gotcha.
Excellent. Hey, Andy.
Good to see
Long
you.
Time no see.
Yeah, you too.
Been quite busy with work. A little bit less social and more.
I know. I'm the same. we're actually coming towards the end of the show. And
okay.
I know Wayne has literally just got to go.
Let me go.
Sorry.
Bye, guys. Great to see you.
See ya.
Yeah, you too. Thank you all for tuning in again today. It's really been a pleasure and privilege to share Wayne's journey today and his trek. Any last words, and can you share your website as well?
Yeah, it's aworldforchange.com. I'll put that link again in the chat. My last words are this. What, if I could ask you to all, please tell me if there's anything that I said today that maybe was inspirational to you. And if you don't want to say that publicly, then private message me. And let me know if there's anything that was inspirational about the story, because, I want to elaborate on that, and I want to share that in more depth with a larger audience.
Definitely. And again, thank you all for tuning in. We are live every Wednesday. It's Thursday today. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and that will usually be 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We are available on iTunes as a podcast. We're on SoundCloud, and all of our episodes also go onto YouTube. So you can listen in and watch back anytime you like. Again, thank you all for tuning in. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. And I do look forward to seeing you all again next week. Thanks again, and bye for now.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.